And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, May the 16th, 2018, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. I'm Scott Spears, and we are going to have a great hour this hour because we are going to be joined momentarily by the man who has won more Emmy Awards than any other male in the history of the Emmy Awards, Ed Asner. Lou Grant himself will be along here in just a few minutes. Love Ed Asner. He is absolutely one of the most kind gentlemen in the world. And we'll talk a little bit about politics. We'll talk a little bit about his book. We'll talk a little bit about the acting career and what he is up to now. Now, coming up tomorrow on this program, at 12:10, we'll be joined by an actress best known for her work as Mrs. Cunningham on the TV series Happy Days, and author of the new book, My Happy Days and Otherwise, Marion Ross, tomorrow, Thursday at 12:10 p.m. And then at 1:10 tomorrow, we will be joined by the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Scherzer, 1:10 on Thursday. We'll also be giving away tickets to Zumbezi Bay, the Columbus Zoo, and the Wilds down at the Columbus Zoo on the Charlie Evers Show, the Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. And the Adam the Computer Guy Show kicks off the morning, 9 a.m. until 10 a.m. Now, also, don't forget, coming up on Friday night, May the 18th, WWGH Radio will be broadcasting live from Huntington Park, home of the Columbus Clippers, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. and 8:10 to 9 p.m. We'll have interviews with players, fans, and special guest Dennis Haskins, who portrayed Mr. Belding on the hit TV series Saved by the Bell. We'll also be joined for this broadcast by the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. The event is supported by the committee to elect Jeff Ratliff County Prosecutor. That's this Friday, May the 18th, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. and 8:10 to 9 p.m. Now, as I said, Ed Asner will be the guest this hour. So why don't we go back to September 5th of 1970, episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, the first time Lou Grant and Mary Tyler Moore, Mary Richards, meet. Here we go.
Do you have any idea when Mr. Grant will be back?
Hi, Mr. Grant.
You're back.
Look, miss, I was just about to have a drink and I wouldn't mind some company. Want one?
Oh, no, thank you.
I said I wouldn't mind some company.
Well, all right. I'll have a Brandy Alexander.
How about some coffee?
That'll be fine. Has the job been filled?
Yeah.
Oh.
But there is another job.
Oh?
I figured I'd hire a man for it.
Oh.
We can talk about it.
Well, good.
Hey, you live in my favorite neighborhood.
Oh, really? Huh? Well, I just moved in. Is it that nice?
Nice. Some of the best saloons in town are over there. How old are you?
30.
No hedging. No, how old do I look?
Why hedge? Yeah. How old do I look?
30. What religion are you?
Mr. Grant, I don't quite know how to say this, but you're not allowed to ask that when someone's applying for a job. It's against the law.
Want to call a cop?
No.
Good. Would you think I was violating your civil rights if I asked if you're married?
Presbyterian. Well, I decided I'd answer your religion question.
Divorced?
No.
Never married?
No.
Why?
Why?
Your type?
Mr. Grant, there's no simple answer to that question.
Yes, there is. How about, no, I can't type, or yes, I can.
There's no simple answer to why a person isn't married.
How many different reasons can there be?
65.
Parts per minute. My typing question.
Yes.
Look, miss, would you try answering the questions as I ask them?
Yes, Mr. Grant, I will, but it does seem that you've been asking a lot of very personal questions that don't have a thing to do with my qualifications for this job.
You know what? You got spunk.
Well, yes.
I hate spunk. Tell you what, I'll try you out for a couple of weeks, see if it works out.
Oh.
If I don't like you, I'll fire you.
Right, right.
You don't like me, I'll fire you.
Yes, yes. That certainly seems fair.
One of the greatest moments in television history when Lou Grant and Mary Richards first meet each other. What a great pilot that was. Can you believe that's almost 50 years ago? That is unbelievable to imagine that that Mary Tyler Moore show went on the air nearly 50 years ago. Holy moly. Telephone lines are open. We're going to be joined by Ed Asner momentarily here, 740-383-9944. If there's anything you'd like to talk about, 740-383-9944. Did you have any memories of watching the Mary Tyler Moore show? It was really appointment television. And they set the mark so many times for great television. The first episode was tremendous. You've Got Spunk. I Hate Spunk. And then they probably did the funniest episode of all time with Chuckles Bites the Dust. Oh, crying at a funeral and then, or laughing at a funeral and then crying. It just, what a tremendous episode that is. If you've never seen Chuckles Bites the Dust, the episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, it is one of the most tremendous half hours of television in the history of television. And then the last episode, which really set the standard for what last episodes are supposed to be in television. So it's always a tremendous pleasure when Ed Asner drops by this program, which he will in about 6 minutes here. So we all look forward to that. And I do want to remind everybody once again that coming up tomorrow on the program, actress best known for her role as Mrs. Cunningham on the TV series Happy Days, and author of the new book, My Days, Happy and Otherwise, Marion Ross will be on tomorrow at 12:10. And the mayor, Scott Schertzer, will be on at 1:10 tomorrow. So don't miss that, the big Thursday here at WWGH Radio. And once again, new announcement today, Friday night, May the 18th, WWGH Radio will be broadcasting live from Huntington Park, home of the Columbus Clippers, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. and 8:10 to 9 p.m. We'll have interviews with the players, fans, and special guest Dennis Haskins, who portrayed Mr. Belding on the hit TV series Saved by the Bell. And we'll also be joined during the broadcast by the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, a good friend of this station. So that will be a lot of fun. The event is supported by the Committee to Elect Jeff Ratliff, County Prosecutor. So that's coming up Friday. There's always something new going on here at WWGH Radio. Now, I want to remind you about this event as well. June 14th at 7 p.m. at the Marion Public Library, there's going to be a speaker, Chip Comstock. He is the fire chief and an attorney who advises people on how to do mergers and consolidation. The discussion will be about what to do with the Marion City Fire Department. There's a hole in the floor, and we're going to see what's going to be done there. The public is invited to attend this. I will moderate the event, and WWGH Radio will cover that event as we do all things public. And by the way, if you ever wanted to send a message or you ever had an event you wanted to get on the news, give us a call. Well, actually, I'll tell you what, the best thing to do is email us. Send me an email, scott@wwgh1071.com. That's scott@wwgh1071.com. And I also want to thank the gentleman, and I hope he's listening. I did not catch his name, but the gentleman this morning who very kindly brought Charlie Evers his favorite soda, Moxie, the soda of President Calvin Coolidge. and dropped off some apple butter to me. I love apple butter, so I am just thrilled to death that that happened. We're going to take a quick break, come back with Ed Asner right after this quick but important timeout.
Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, from legendary comedian Kay Ballard, performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck Full of Nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King with a styrofoam. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and Fred Wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
Twisted.
I would do anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. But well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, May the 16th, 27 minutes past the hour. And I do want to remind you very quickly that coming up tomorrow on the show at 12:10, we're going to be joined by actress, best known for her role as Mrs. Cunningham on the TV series Happy Days, and author of the new book My Days Happy and Otherwise, Marion Ross, tomorrow at 12:10. But this hour is very special because we have a gentleman on who I just absolutely love. Now, here are some facts about the gentleman we have on today. He has been nominated for 20 Emmy Awards, including 17 Primetime Emmys and 3 Daytime Emmys, and has won 7 for Primetime, which is more than any other male actor, period. He's the only actor to win both a comedy and drama Primetime Emmy for the same role of Lou Grant. He played Lou Grant on 4 different television series, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Rhoda, Lou Grant, and Roseanne. He still tours. He still works. He's in just wonderful movies, wonderful stage productions. And last fall, he helped author one of my favorite books. I truly keep it on my coffee table at home, The Grouchy Historian. It's always a pleasure to welcome to these microphones. They're talking about England this week and the big wedding, and in England they have a national theater, and the actors are called treasures. This is our American acting treasure, Ed Asner. Mr. Asner, how are you?
God love you, sonny boy.
It's always good to hear from you. How are things?
What an introduction. What an introduction.
Well, you
know, I want to save it.
You know, you have won more Emmys than anybody else. That's what a tremendous feat.
Well, no, there are women who have won.
Women more. Right.
Yeah.
But
nobody's won it for playing the same character comedically and dramatically. So
you
I
know,
guess that's a distinction.
Well, it's interesting because Mary Tyler Moore still plays a lot, but recently I have found Lou Grant on the internet again. What a tremendous show that was!
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I thank God it's still bubbling up in various places, such as with you. But for a time there, they kept it off the air.
It really, you know, when I watch that program, and I try to catch an episode each night, it feels like what newspaper work is really like, which is very unique for television.
Yeah. It served the cause of journalism wonderfully well at the time. And I was very proud of our achievements. It was hard work, but by God, we had dedicated people who worked their butts off to bring it off, and they did. They did. And I got credit for it, so I'm a thief.
When Mary Tyler Moore went off the air, did you want to continue on with Lou Grant, the character?
I had no idea. I would have certainly been willing to. I would have been willing to go on with the Mary Tyler Moore show. CBS said they were happy to have me do another series and to pick it. And, okay. He said, who would you like to produce? I said, I'd like my two producers from Mary Tyler Moore. And they said they'd be happy to. So they, after spending a few months thinking, decided it would be nice to take Lou back to print journalism. And that's what we did.
And did it very well.
Yeah.
How much of Ed Asner is in Lou Grant?
Well, with the Mary Tyler Moore Show, I use a lot of my brothers who were big and bombastic. Then when we started on the hour show of Lou Grant, and I realized I was running into stumbling blocks with those two characters, so I shoved them aside and looked into myself and came up with whoever I was at the time or however I felt at the time. And then I made that the Lou Grant of the hour show.
You would then be able to answer this question for me, because watching Lou Grant at night, there's a question that keeps coming to my mind. In the world of fake news and President Trump, Lou Grant is still alive. What would Lou Grant be doing today?
Taking ulcer pills. I mean, he always had a sour stomach before, but this would have sent him over the edge, I think. I think he'd still be trying to print the news as we received it, as it was reported to us. And he'd try to keep it fair and balanced, which is something that the Trump administration has not learned.
You are still out touring the country with various productions. What do you find is going on outside of California and outside of New York?
Well, first of all, anybody who's anti-Trump is going to be amazed at how much support he has out there. So come the election, we're going to have to work our butts off to see that he doesn't win. For those of us who are anti-Trump, because he's gained a lot of support. And I suppose even with the 60 dead at Gaza, there are people who think it's just wonderful he's transferred the embassy to Jerusalem. Well, there shouldn't be an embassy in Jerusalem unless there's a Palestinian embassy as well, which would mean a Palestinian state. And the Israelis, in my opinion, should have worked day and night to achieve that occurrence. So, progressives, liberals, whatever you want to call it, Democrats, progressive Republicans, whatever, are going to have to organize and come up with excellent programs to counteract the Trump phenomenon.
When it comes to that situation, which presidents have not been able to solve, leaders of the world have not been able to solve, Palestine versus Israel. What is your read on it? Is it religious? Is it land? What is the big issue over there? It is unsolvable.
There ain't enough for everybody. It's that simple. Now, when the existence of Israel came into being, some Israelis encouraged the flight of the Palestinians in the neighborhood. But the Palestinians themselves said, leave, or at least certain of their imams called for the Arabs to leave the land so that the Jews could be wiped out in the coming war. And so some of them did obey, and they left. There are too many Arabs, too many Palestinians for the land that's left. And I don't know what the solution will be, but it will be a pocket of wretchedness for many, many years to come. And I don't know how it's going to be solved. But the Arabs have to recognize Israel if they want Israel's support. And there ain't enough to go around. There's a few places short at the table.
Something that has always been of great interest to me is that Ed Asner, the actor, the human being, has always spoke out for what he believed in. And there have been instances, the cancellation of Lou Grant prematurely, I think that's been pretty well documented now, that was over a stand you took at the time. But you have remained employable. You remain on television. You've had series since. You're in movies. Up, which became a big hit. And we're going to talk about The Great Book, which was a well-selling book, The Grouchy Historian. How much do you think giving your opinion did hurt you?
Well, I was out of work for a while, and we put other people out of work who were affiliated with the show. It was a blow against free speech, and you can lay that to Mr. Paley's knees as an action he caused. But we survived, and I have the guilt of the unemployment I created. As best put, I mean, I had death threats at the time. And in a conversation with some producers of mine before the show got canceled, one of them said, "We think there are two ways to present problems. One is the show's way, and the other is your way, and I think our way is better." And he may well have been right, because this show, which espoused conflicts in our life and perhaps ways to solve them, this show dealt with those problems, and it got canceled. The people were not served by that action. So you can say I provoked it, but at the same time, I was exercising my freedom of speech.
There is a big discussion about this freedom of speech, certainly with the press, freedom of the press. If you say something and you're not on the clock, should that be able to be held against you?
Well, I certainly hope not.
Happens a lot, though.
Huh?
I say, unfortunately, it happens a lot, though.
Yeah. And the, well, I'll give you a case in point. For instance, the forced resignation of the senator from Minnesota.
Franken.
Franken, Al Franken. That was not necessary. It was premature and forced, and certainly was not the brutal types of molestation other people have reported in other areas. So we lost a good voice in the Senate because of this overreaction by Democratic women. They pushed the envelope. And in a way, you can say he was exercising freedom of speech. So I regret the results in his being forced to resign, because we needed him in that Senate. The others I won't discuss. The others are, for the most part, probably guilty and deserve the embarrassment that's incumbent. But we have to watch it. Freedom of speech covers a broad area, and it can hurt in its clamping down, as well as give freedom.
It's interesting, and I know you'll answer this truthfully. You have been a well-known person, very well-known, since 1970. With all these allegations in the last couple years, Bill Cosby, Weinstein, and it did go over into the political world, was it common knowledge this was going on in Hollywood? It wasn't common knowledge in the Midwest or anywhere else, I don't think.
Well, let's put it this way. There was a radio show that our president was on, in which he talked freely about groping women. You could say he confessed to it on air. The world knows about it. Was there any action against him? No. And we still wait for the reaction to those actions. So it's freedom for some, it's repression for others. Where's the women's movement in calling for his resignation for sexual badness? Where is that women's movement? I don't see it. I don't hear it. So I guess it's pick and choose, huh?
Well, it's interesting because you're exactly right in what you say. And then on the other hand, we have one of the most powerful people in Hollywood probably facing at least 10 years in prison with Bill Cosby. It's interesting how the cards have been dealt.
Well, yeah, he certainly was a repeat performer. But I will accept the verdict of the court. I'd like to see a court applied to our president, though.
It has been pick and choose as far as this issue has went so far. It's interesting to watch. I want to talk a little bit. We had you on in December, and I enjoyed that greatly, to talk about what then was your new book, The Grouchy Historian. I want to talk about it because I am absolutely earnest in my statement. It sits on my I see Ed Asner's face every day because this book sits on my coffee table because whenever...
What about my body?
Your body is in a nice sweater. You're right there every day.
Joe College.
That's right. And the book is so good, and I keep it there for when people are over. I say, now pick that up and read a few pages and tell me you don't want to buy that book. Mm-hmm. It is, it's so well researched, and it's funny. It's funny, which is good, but what do you think that book has done? It really is a game-changing book, I think.
Well, it's blown the whistle on false worship without support. It puts the lie to Republicans who wish to claim the Constitution as their own. It shows the history of the creators of the Constitution. The vast majority were lawyers. Some were involved in slavery. Some were successful, and many were not. So it above all shows them as human beings, that we're the creatures of human beings. Human beings who had enlightenment, but who also had foibles and faults. And we must not be in awe or be controlled by awe in responding to the founders and their influence on us in this country.
We're talking with Ed Asner, actor, writer, activist, true treasure. I wanted to make sure I got this clip in because they pulled it. The best last episode of any television series of all time, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, 1977, 41 years ago. Who would have thought that? Here's Marion Lou in the last episode of The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
But it's over. I don't feel as bad as I thought I was going to. In fact, I feel pretty good. I really do. And I owe it all to you. Thanks.
What's the matter? You got ice water in your veins? It's a real life. This is the last time we'll all see this room?
Of course I realize it, Mr. Grant. I don't really feel good. That's why I wanted to say to you...
Mary, you promised.
Mr. Grant, why won't you let me say what I want to say?
Because you'll just make a big deal out of it. That's why, and I don't want that. But don't let me spoil your evening. Let's make this simple. And in case I don't see you again, I'd just like to say, so long.
Mr. Grant.
No, it's nothing. I was thinking of that truck going through that old lady's wall.
Mr. Grant.
I treasure you people.
Oh, even to hear it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. When you, oh my goodness. How hard was that?
It was, we didn't want to screw it up. We just wanted to make sure that every move we made was right and true and not sloppily sentimental.
Why does Mary Tyler Moore show still hold up today?
Because the people who wrote it were very good writers, and they knew how to work with their material, the human beings, and have them present the truth that they were writing in a decent manner.
It certainly is one of the greatest of all time. It's interesting. When you go out and tour the country, what is your reaction from people who get to meet you, the guy they've watched for 50 years now on television?
He's still alive.
I'm sure there's more than that.
Yeah, there is, I guess. But it's greeting an old friend.
when you get a part today, when somebody gives you a role, a script, what helps you determine if you're going to do it or not?
What helps me determine?
Yeah, what's the determining factor?
Well, seeing myself in the role, whether I look like a fool or a hero.
Is there something you won't do?
No, only if it's boring. If I can see that it's boring and it's childish, I'll turn it down, but there aren't many I turn down. By the time they get to me, they've been pretty well filtered.
What is the best part of your profession?
I think the very reason I got into it, it's therapy. Therapy, becoming someone else and speaking thoughts that might not have occurred to me on my own.
It's interesting because you are Ed Asner. That's a very well-known name. When people put it on the marquee, people show up, people come to the movies. Are you ever aware that you're Ed Asner?
All the time. All the time. When I take a moment and confront my indecisiveness, my weakness, my not knowing which way I'll be turning next, how I'm going to pay off my debts, how I'm going to leave a legacy to my children, and all the vicissitudes of the common man visit me, and then I can then turn and start to act and be lifted to the heavens.
It is at this point in your life, when you look at the life, do you ever look back and reflect? Or have you been able to reflect and say, wow?
No, I try not to, because I think automatically I act like I own the world, and if I start to think that way, then I have to slap myself down, because I would become even more insufferable.
Acting is such a difficult profession for people to break into. What do you think allowed you to not only break in, but to be a success?
Well, I didn't know that I'd be a success. I just knew that I had to act. And doing that therapy, having that escape, I was able to achieve pride and get a little money while doing it.
Absolutely. And just for the current events purpose of this, there has been news just released that President Trump did reimburse his lawyer, Michael Cohen, $130,000 to pay off Stormy Daniels. A financial disclosure shows. Do you think this will go anywhere, or will it pass just like other stories do now?
Well, the emperor has no clothes, but nobody's commenting on it.
What do you think it is about President Trump that he seems to be Teflon to a certain degree?
I shake my head in wonderment. How? How? I compare him to our other presidents and their foibles and faults. He has a hard cadre out there. And then even if you were able to impeach him, which you won't be able to probably, or if he lost an election, there would be a very hard core of multiple people who would be Trumpists and who would blow their trumpets for him. So it's a problem of America. It's not a problem of Trump. It's a problem of America as to resentment on race, on sex, on liberties generally. One of the most despised words in America for so long was socialist. It was too close to communist. And until certain socialist aspects begin to be applied, as FDR did with some of the bills that he passed to fight the Depression, unless we adopt socialism and make it as important as capitalism, we will continue to breed this hard-shelled reaction to human rights and human freedoms and to equal justice.
We're chatting with legendary actor, author, activist Ed Asner. We have about 4 minutes left, which is never enough time. The Grouchy Historian is the book. You can still get it. It's a very good read. You'll want to do that. And if Mr. Asner is anywhere near you in the country, go down and see him. You will not regret that decision, to be sure. Did you ever want to...
I cannot ignore and not mention the enormous creative and spiritual achievement that Ed Weinberger created with this book.
Absolutely.
I did not write it alone.
Absolutely. He, tremendous part, and his section on the Second Amendment is unbelievable.
Yeah.
If people read that, it's tremendous. Did you ever want to run for public office?
Not that I know of. People thought I did. But I think you have a much nicer bully platform being an actor than you do being a politician.
It's interesting. We live in the world of reality television. You predate reality television by 40 years. But yet, I have never seen Ed Asner walk away from a camera, be impolite to a reporter, or not stop to take a picture with an admiring fan. Do you...
I'm a publicity hog.
a person of your celebrity to do that, it's really speaks to your character. Because it's got to be sometimes when you're trying to get somewhere fast and somebody comes up to you and wants an autograph or a picture. Is it ever a bother?
Yeah, of course it is. It certainly is. But then I think if you, having gone through a blacklist period, you want to make up for the lost time.
It's an interesting life. If you had to put a piece of your career in a time capsule, what would you put in there?
Well, I think Lou Grant should go in there. Rich Man, Poor Man should go in there. I don't know. You put it in.
And before we part, recently, on an interesting an interview with the Today Show, you said your famous line from Mary Tyler Moore, "I hate spunk," is completely wrong. Ed Asner loves spunk.
I do. It makes the world go round. It makes people get blacklisted.
But you don't regret it?
No. No.
And that...
It's called free speech.
Is there anything left you still want to do?
No. No, I just want to keep working. Because it takes my mind off my my own insecurities.
Well, before we part, I want to say this. It's been a few months, 5 months, since we had Mr. Asner on, and his kindnesses over my decade and a half broadcast career now have always been innumerable. He is a fascinating guest. He is a fabulous person to be around. And as I say, the grouchy historian sits on my coffee table. It should sit on yours as well, listeners. And... anytime you see Ed Asner on television, it is hard not to stop, and I'll be watching an episode of Lou Grant tonight, I'm sure, on the internet. Asner, I love you to death. You are the best, and don't have so many insecurities, because I'm secure in who you are.
You're on, Scott.
Hey, anytime you want to talk about something, the door is always open.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Asner.
And vice versa.
Absolutely. Stay well.
Thank you, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Ed Asner doesn't get any better than that. But for this day, we're done. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
One day, I don't know, I was feeling devilish. And I went, "Are you all set for lots of fun and fabulous prizes?" The audience went, "Yeah!" And I went, "Well, what about me? What about my..."